So this presentation and all of the research was done by my colleague, Dr. Rick Engel, who is in China right now at an agricultural forum, presenting some of these results. For those of you who were here for Dr. Chen's talk, you might have noticed that China has the highest urea volatilization losses in the world. So I think Rick partly went there to see where the action really was. So a little bit about winter wheat production in Montana. It generally occurs on large farms in no-till systems. Most of our seeding is done in September in a relatively narrow window. Nitrogen fertilizer applications are often deferred until later in the fall or even winter, and sometimes into early spring. Our surface applied urea is the common practice in Montana. Question is volatilization occurring in this cold weather? There are some studies in Montana and in Idaho that have shown relatively small differences between ammonium nitrate applications and urea applications regarding yield and protein. So I had always thought, as an extension specialist, we probably don't have high rates of volatilization. But my colleague Rick Engel said, let's make sure before we tell people that. So our questions first were, how much nitrogen as ammonia are we losing from unincorporated surface applied urea during cool months, fall to early spring? Do cold soil temperatures less than 5 degrees Celsius really provide us protection against ammonia volatilization losses? Is there a more specific question? And second, what level of protection is achieved from coating urea with NBPT or Agritan? We used a micrometeorological approach called the integrated horizontal flux approach, mass balance approach. One nice thing about it is it does not disturb the soil atmosphere environment. It relies on moderate size plots, about 0.13 hectares, which is a much larger footprint than provided by chambers. It also provides continuous measurement of gas loss over time. And so this is what one of our masts look like, and these are the shuttles that are attached to that mast. We use circular plots with 20 meter radius. The amount of urea we applied was 100 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. We also applied a urea plus NBPT treatment at 4.1 liters per ton. We needed to have large unfertilized buffer areas around each circle so that we weren't affected by other farmers applying urea near our sites. So we had a urea site, we had a background site, and then we had an Agritan site, and our circles were spread out by at least 200 meters between circles. The shuttles we used, we call them shuttles, they kind of do look like our space shuttles, were designed to always face into the wind and pivot on the mass. In this portion of the shuttle right here, we had a metal spiral that was coated with oxalic acid, and oxalic acid is very effective absorbing ammonia. Any ammonia that enters the shuttle should get absorbed onto the oxalic acid. We swap the shuttles out once per week, and our gas sampling campaigns range from 7 to 10 weeks. We also collected climate data at each site, so we knew the wind direction. We also were monitoring soil temperatures at 1 centimeter of depth, and we were monitoring precipitation in a rain gauge. So I'm going to start with two examples from north central Montana near the town of Haber. This study was conducted on a silt loam. The pH was 6, which is actually fairly low for Montana. Most of our surface soils are closer to pH 7 to about 8. This was on a no-till winter wheat field. And the first studies that I'll show are what we call campaigns 2 and 5, which were conducted in the same field. In campaign 2, we observed relatively low ammonia losses. This is a picture of Rick Engel hand applying urea fertilizer. Campaign 2 was conducted in October of 2008. The air temperature was 70 degrees Celsius, and the soil surface was dry. And that's really key to when you're comparing Campaign 2 results to Campaign 5 results. Keep in mind that Campaign 2 was applied to a very dry soil surface. There then was no rain for 24 days, and then over about a three-day period in early November, the field site received 2.5 centimeters of precipitation as a mix of both snow and rain. It might be difficult to see, but 1 week after fertilization, the urea prills were still there. They were still non-dissolved. So hydrolysis apparently had not initiated. I'm going to show four graphs, all that look fairly similar. They're at least designed the same. On the x-axis is weeks post-fertilization from weeks one generally to about weeks eight. And on the y-axis is the percent of applied nitrogen lost. And keep in mind that we applied 100 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So you can also look at the y-axis as this is how much nitrogen was lost in terms of kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. For this first study, campaign two, notice during that period where there was no precipitation, there was also no volatilization loss. Kind of makes sense. Those prills had not begun to dissolve or hydrolyze. In week four, there was a small rain event, and that rain event did kick off a little bit of volatilization, but not very much at all. We only lost about 3%. And before this study started, I would have said, that's probably about what we're losing in Montana. The Agritain treatment only released about 1.4% urea to the atmosphere. In campaign five, on the exact same field, we found very high ammonia losses. This study was conducted the following spring in late March. The fertilizer was applied on light snow, and the air temperature was very cold for late March, -6 degrees Celsius. The day that the fertilizer was applied, Rick took this study, which showed that the urea was already starting to melt snow around the urea, and that snow was starting to dissolve the urea prills. So what did we find there? Much different results, scarily high results. For me as an extension specialist who has been telling growers that if you apply urea when it's cool, don't worry about it. What we found in week one was we lost 23% of the urea to the atmosphere, even though the soil temperature was about 1 degree Celsius and the air temperature was just a little bit cooler. In week two, we lost another about 7 or 8%. Soil temperatures had bumped up to about 4 degrees Celsius, and the air temperature also about 4 degrees Celsius. Keep in mind that these are average temperatures, and one of our theories for why we can see such high volatilization losses are that on a warm, clear day in March to early April, we probably have surface temperatures that are quite a bit higher than our soil temperatures at 1 centimeter deep. So that's a conjecture of how we can see such high volatilization losses when soil temperatures and air temperatures are fairly cool. Keep in mind here that there was no rain for 0 to 2 weeks, and then in the next 2 to 8 weeks, there was a series of small rain events that just weren't large enough apparently to completely stop volatilization and kept volatilization going all the way up to week eight, where we were still seeing some small losses. The other things to note here is that volatilization of urea reached 40% and of the Agritain was about 18%. So in the first couple weeks, urea volatilization losses exceeded NBPT losses. After that point, NBPT exceeded Agritain, or exceeded urea. So one question might be, well, how did soil temperatures compare between campaign two, which had low losses, and campaign five, which had high losses? Well, it turns out that temperature can't explain the differences. This graph shows days post-fertilization on the x-axis and soil temperature in degrees Celsius on the y-axis. Notice the soil temperatures in campaign two range from about 3 degrees Celsius up to about 11 degrees Celsius. In campaign five, the soil temperature started at about 0 degrees. The highest it ever got was about 6 degrees. So again, temperature can't explain the differences, but precipitation patterns appear to explain the differences. When you apply urea to a dry surface and then it rains a bunch 2 weeks later, you have a lot less volatilization than when you apply it to a wet surface and then it doesn't rain for a couple weeks. Rick was also interested in how much volatilization we might see on a calcareous soil. So he worked a little closer to home in Gallatin County. Western Gallatin County has a town called Willow Creek. He worked on a silt loam there that had a pH of about 8.3 and was calcareous to the surface. The day before January 27th, the day he set up the mast, that soil was bare. He wasn't planning on doing a snow study. He was going to do a study on bare soil. Well, that night, it snowed approximately 13 centimeters. And so he went out there and he's like, should I even do this study? Well, why not? A few growers in Montana do apply their urea to snow. And so he wanted to see, will we get any volatilization from urea applied to a snowy surface? What he found in those first couple weeks when the snow hadn't begun to melt was he found very small amounts of volatilization. A little surprising that he even found any volatilization, picturing that that urea probably didn't even make it down to the soil surface. Question is, could there even be urease enzyme within the snowpack? By the third week of this study, this second week of the study, he only found about 1% volatilization loss of urea. By the third week, though, it had started to warm up. So this is a photo of the field showing that there's relatively little snow left, and he started to observe 2 to 3% losses of urea, still almost no loss from the agritain product. When you look at the whole study, urea losses were actually fairly high, about 24%. The agritain losses were about 9%. And urea losses always exceeded agritain losses, unlike the studies up in north central Montana, where agritain caught up later in the study. Here, every week of the study, urea losses were higher than agritain, suggesting that the activity of MBPT was at least 10 weeks. So what did soil temperatures look like in that particular study? Well, for the first 4 weeks of the study, the soil temperatures were only about a little less than 0 degrees Celsius. Later in that study, it started warming up. So now we're getting into March and even early April. And notice on a clear day, some of these days were quite clear, the soil temperatures could bump up to 18 or 20 degrees Celsius, which would explain some of those high rates that continued for a long period of time. He also wanted to see what would happen if he applied urea to the same site when there wasn't snow. What he found there was even worse. Urea volatilization losses over the course of this study were 44%. Agritain losses were only about 12%. Here, the activity of the MBPT is judged by when it started to volatilize more than the urea. Looks like it was about 7 weeks. So at cool temperatures, MBPT lasts quite a bit longer, just like Don Horneck showed earlier in the session. Under warm conditions, MBPT doesn't last quite as long. Under these cool temperatures, it lasts quite a while. When we look at all 12 campaigns that Rick conducted over the last 2 years, the average urea volatilization loss is about 20%. The average agritain volatilization loss was around 7%, and the range was huge, meaning going from 3% up to 44%. That 3% from memory, that was the site that was very dry, and then it rained or snowed a bunch a couple weeks later. The 44% was when urea was applied to a wet surface and it didn't rain for a long period of time. So some final comments. It appears that there's appreciable cold weather losses of ammonia from surface applied urea can happen in semi-arid climates. A wet surface soil condition without accompanying precipitation produces a high risk for appreciable ammonia losses, even if soil temperatures were close to 0 degrees Celsius. And there's a greater potential for these conditions in Montana during winter. So while I thought and growers thought, well, temperature is what controls volatilization, we don't get a lot of precipitation in winter. So even though temperatures are cool, precipitation is also low. So that urea sits right there on the surface and appears to continue to volatilize. Urea on snow cover resulted in about a 24% nitrogen loss, so that may be problematic. Not sure if that's due to the snow or just the conditions of that site. Remember, that was a high pH site. And MBPT longevity appears to be greater in calcareous soils, and there's evidence to this effect in the literature. We found that there was about a 2-week longevity in non-calcareous soils and about a 7-week longevity in calcareous soils. Where we're going from here is we just got funded by the USDA Western SARE program to continue this study and also look at what management practices might reduce urea volatilization. One of the ones that we're targeting right now is a practice that growers do where they apply their urea and then almost immediately direct seed. And so if they have a fairly wide opener, they might be covering up just enough urea to decrease volatilization. So that's our current process. Any questions? Yes.
I was surprised that you didn't have a bigger effect on soil pH. And I'm kind of showing my ignorance here. Will a urea prill make a little microzone of high pH around it that might, cut the effect of soil pH?
So it will. So a soil that starts at pH 6 could still, if it's not super well buffered, could produce an area right around there of much higher pH. If you start at a higher pH, certainly it's not as difficult to move up. But we did see our highest volatilization loss was from a pH 8.3 soil. Does that answer your question? Mm-hmm.